grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you show perpetual loving kindness to your servants. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody that generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated. Carry the Bible, please.
Reading from Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord of God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes. Angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 145 responsively. I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness.
One
will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works.
They shall
publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing joyfully to your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious.
Reading from Philippians. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Word of God, word of life.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for their usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also, go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon, and again about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going on to the first.' When those hired at 5 o'clock came, each of them received a usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. I like this story of Jonah. Humor, satire, even a little bit of slapstick. It's got it all. That, and the message that God's love and mercy are available for all people, not just the people that we think deserves it. Jonah is a favorite biblical character. The preschool children love to hear the story of the prophet and try to imagine what it would be like to be in the belly of a big fish for 3 days. And we heard this wonderful song that the children's choir sang this morning about Jonah and how he tried to run away from his missionary assignment, going in exactly the opposite direction. This story catches our attention because of those kind of funny even incidents. But the real message of Jonah's story, if we look at that story, is not about Jonah, it's about God, about the gracious action of God. This story gives us a glimpse of how God pushes his people to go beyond religious and ethnic boundaries to share that love and mercy of God with all nations, even those who were their sworn enemies, even those who do not deserve, that we know, do not deserve in the least bit any of God's mercy or God's love. When God ordered Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell them that they were to shape up and get saved, the expression on Jonah's face must have been something like, when you smell something not too good. He looked like he was a man that just got a whiff of something bad when God said, go to Nineveh. In the first place, the people of Nineveh were not the same creed or cult as Jonah, and Jonah didn't have any time for foreigners. And in the second place, Jonah didn't want to see them get saved. Nothing would have pleased him more than to see them get annihilated. They were a brutal people, and there was a civil war going on in Nineveh, and the people, kind of the ISIS of that day. There wasn't any. Jonah didn't want to have anything to do with them, and he certainly doesn't want God to extend grace and mercy toward them. So Jonah gets a plan that I'll just go the opposite direction. So he gets on a ship heading in the opposite direction, away from Nineveh. And as a result of that desperate attempt to get away from God's plan, he got himself swallowed by a big fish instead. But even the fish can't stomach Jonah for very long. And he spits him out on the shore, and guess where? Right near Nineveh. So with a little more prodding from God, Jonah does go to Nineveh and do what he's told. And he hated every minute of it. As soon as he started preaching, he hardly got the words out of his mouth. I can just see this great prophet preaching to the people. If you just shape up, God wants me to tell you to shape up. And, you know, he's not putting his heart into this because he knows what God's going to do. He knows that God's going to relent, and he does not want these people to be spared. So he's not trying very hard to get them to repent. And when he hardly gets the first word out of his mouth, the king and all of the people, even the animals, repent and say, "We'll change our ways. We promise to follow your God." And he's mad. He's pouting. And God says, "What is with, you know, I," and Jonah says, I knew it. You are the kind of God. You are full of love. You're full of forgiveness. You're fervent. And that's what I hate about you, God. You aren't taking out the bad people. I knew this was going to happen. That's why I didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. I knew you were going to relent. But God is not just full of love and abounding mercy for the people of Nineveh. God also loves Jonah. And when Jonah sits down on that hillside to pout and call God out for being unfair, this is an opening that God can't resist. So he causes this bush to grow up and give Jonah some wonderful shade, and then it shrivels down to the last leaf. And when Jonah gets upset at this bush for this, and because now he's sitting in the ghastly heat again in the desert, and God pretends to misunderstand. So what are you so mad about, Jonah? You're mad about this bush? No, give me a break. It's just a bush. Here you are, Jonah, all upset about one bush, which, by the way, you had nothing to do with its creation. What's so unfair about that? And why are you concerned about this bush that you didn't create? And you're not concerned about this whole city of people, which I did create, and all of these people, and the animals? You should be concerned about them too. I think this is a great story. This story that tells us an amazing truth about God. And this is the truth. God is just so unfair. I'm glad the children aren't here, because kids know, really, that fairness is what it's all about. Just try to break a candy bar in two pieces. God is full of mercy and generosity, steadfast love and forgiveness for all people. Believers and unbelievers, reluctant prophets and great sinners. God's mercy is beyond our wildest imaginations. That truth is the same truth that is told in the story that Jesus tells, that's recorded in the Matthew's gospel that we heard about the workers in the vineyard. This is a story that Jesus told his disciples. And I think this can be an upsetting parable too. Like the children would get upset if they heard me say that God is unfair, and that's a good thing. We get upset when we hear this parable that Jesus tells, and we echo right with Jonah. That's not fair. The way the landowner treated those vineyard workers, it wasn't fair. Doesn't take a labor lawyer to see the unfairness in that landowner's payroll practices. But we need to take a closer look at this parable. But let me give you a spoiler. I don't think we're going to get to a moral of the story that you're going to like. Because it's just like God's mercy toward the evil people of Nineveh. God's mercy doesn't depend on what we think. In the final scene of the story, we see that the laborers who worked all day long from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m., all day long, and they're standing there watching as the landowner starts paying the people that only worked an hour, and then the ones that worked 2 hours, and the ones that worked. So they're watching. You can almost hear the calculator or the adding machine going in their heads. They got the usual day's pay. So let's say a dollar. They got a dollar for working 1 hour. I've worked 12 hours. This is a generous landowner. I think something's going to happen here. They're getting the full day's pay for 1 hour work. I'll get 10, 12 times that amount of money. And when they got only what they agreed to get, they were shocked. Why was this generous landowner being so unfair? Why wasn't he being generous with them? Was he being unfair? Where's the justice in this? What about the principle of equal pay for equal work? You know, if this story gets out, I mean, if we tried to run our world on this story, people would sleep in late every day and, you know, expect to be paid for the full day. Most of us wouldn't go to work until late afternoon. The landowner actions upset the way things are supposed to be. But this story isn't about labor practices. This story is about God's grace and mercy, and about God's grace that doesn't depend on human justice or some sort of merit system. And because it doesn't, we on the inside, we folks kind of grumble. We're prone to grumble, like Jonah did. We wonder if grace really doesn't undermine the whole system and the reason for being good. What would happen? What's going to happen if this word gets out that God's going to forgive everybody? Aren't we all just going to want to go be sinners? Because God's going to forgive us anyway. What's the point of being good? What's the point of having rules and observing standards and for living justly? We kind of second guess the God who ignores our system and equalizes the pay like this. There might be a way that we could support, though, the landowner's generosity. Maybe if we kind of knew more of the story, maybe those second, third, and fourth tier people who came late, maybe the landowner knew more about him. Maybe the truck had a flat tire on the way to the Home Depot, and they didn't get there until later in the afternoon to stand there waiting for someone to hire them. Maybe it wasn't their fault that they were chosen last. Maybe the landowner knows something different, that he's generous with these few unlucky few people. But what the landowner did calls for us to look at God in a different way, to look at the kingdom of heaven in a different way. The relationship between the vineyard workers who were there first and those who were there last shows us even more a characteristic of grace. We might even call it the offensive characteristic of grace. That's when the all-day workers gripe that these last people only worked 1 hour and you made them equal to us. That's what they're mad about. They're not so mad that they didn't get, that they got paid what they agreed to. What they're really mad about is that these other people who only worked 1 hour are made equal to them. They're envious of the generosity shown to others. Now, presumably, if they had been the recipient of the owner's very generous accounting skills, they would have been overjoyed. They weren't standing there objecting. They wouldn't have objected if the landowner said, I want to be generous to you too, and give you 10 times what you agreed to. But what they can't stomach, though, is the generosity that puts those one-hour workers on a par with them. The grumblers aren't really against grace and generosity. They're against the generosity that's shown to others. This is an old story. This is an old story. Jonah sat on that hill looking down at Nineveh and pouted because God spared the city. The elder brother, you know the story, the prodigal son, the elder brother thought that the father was just an old naive fool when he threw that big party for that son who came home, the son who wasted his money. The Pharisee at prayer, thanking God that he's not like the sinners. When it comes to God, the good news is that God is not fair. If God were fair, I'd be in trouble. And I think you probably would find yourself in the same boat. If we received from God what we deserve, we wouldn't be so fond of fair. One saint said, "Don't give me your justice, Lord. I can't stand under your justice. Just give me your mercy." This saint knew that fair isn't what we want from God. Our God isn't fair. Instead, our God is generous, incredibly generous. He gives to all of us much more than we deserve. He gives us forgiveness and mercy and eternal life. He gives us the good things of this creation and people to love and people who love us. And in response to that generosity that God pours out for us, our only appropriate response is thanksgiving and a life of generosity in return.